Good evening, everybody, and welcome again to this episode of Toxic Masculinity. I am your host, Philip Vandermeulen, and tonight I think we are going to do the news. There's been a lot going on. I've never done a segment like this before, so I'm going to throw this out here. Let's look at a few things that are going on not only here regionally, but nationally and worldwide. So, let's get into it. First of all, I want to say Happy New Year. It is January 8th, 2020. This is the This is the first podcast of 2020, and I want to thank you for joining me very much. Hope you guys had a great holiday, Christmas, New Year's. I had a good Christmas. I had a decent New Year's. I am back in the land of Bigfoot, the Pacific Northwest, coming to you from Vernonia. Yes, look that up. Vernonia, Oregon, a small town about 40 miles outside of Portland. And a little update on things. I will be here at least until April, maybe May or June, and then there will be a big announcement. And I will keep everybody abreast of that as developments happen. But anyway, Happy New Year. I am glad that you are joining us wherever you are in this wide, vast world. And there is a lot of stuff going on. We're going to get into it, but we're going to approach it from the typical toxic masculinity standpoint of my opinion coming at you based on 41 years of on this planet, all the bullshit and stupidity that I've seen, witnessed, been through, or caused myself. Here we go. So apparently World War III is not kicking off. For those of you paying attention to that, which most people were glued to their TVs, World War III is not kicking off, which is bumming out a lot of people, and well, it's bumming out most people for two reasons. One, you've got the war fighters that want to go in and wreak havoc, break things, and kill people. Blood running in the streets. And then you've got the other side that, you know, the peacemongers that are, see, I told you. Orange man bad, he took us to war. So, yes, World War III has been averted. Now, the funny thing about this whole thing is everybody thought Trump was basically painted into a corner. If he doesn't go to war, he shows weakness. If he goes to war, he plays into the hands of his political opponents. Interestingly, how it played out, and what I think is absolutely hilarious, is Iran, who has a military that's about 1/24 the size of ours, with technology from the 80s, is going to be the catalyst for World War III. Literally five strategically placed bombs by B-2s, and it would be over before the morning coffee break. Union guys could do this shit. That's how easy it would be. Little jab there to you Union guys. Just don't get your panties in a bunch.
We have close to, 13,000 planes or fighter jets. They have 426 or something along that line. I'm just estimating numbers.
World War III is not good. Oh, well, but Russia.
Well, first of all, Russia's a dinosaur. Russia's been a dinosaur since they stopped being a communist dinosaur. Now they're just pseudo-socialist. And really, I think Russia's going to fall apart once Putin passes away. Because right now, the only thing holding Russia together is Putin. So Russia's a dinosaur. They're not a... And besides, Putin and Trump, they get along. So, you know, kind of like Gorbachev and Reagan. So, you know, I really don't see this thing kicking off the way it was. Now, the funny thing about this is as soon as Trump announced that he had an entire Air Force fighter wing in the air, B-2s, B-52s, headed to the Middle East, all of a sudden, out of the blue, Iran is screaming, UN charter, blah, blah, blah. Oh, you know, we were attacked on sovereign soil. Wrong. No, you weren't. Your fuck-faced general was in Iraq murdering people. He got his ass caught at the airport, Baghdad airport, on the way out of town. He was not bombed in Iran. There was no violation of sovereign territory. When they realized they fucked up, you notice what they did. All of a sudden, retaliation. Those rockets didn't even hit anything. 15 of them didn't get there out of the 35, and the other 20 hit shit that nobody was around. So, and I believe these rockets were like from the 70s. So, you know, the mighty Iran. Ha, 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 ha. You know. So, yeah, World War III. Oh, God, World War III averted. And to all you career military guys that were sitting there going, oh, don't worry about World War III. We're going to fight this. You know, there was some staff sergeant running his fucking mouth on there. And it's, oh, well, you know, American civilians don't have to worry about a draft. You're too fat, fucking lazy, and you know, this, that, and the other to come out here and go with us professional warfighters. Yeah, okay. Well, first of all, staff sergeant, I want to see your combat credential. Because unless you're front line, if you're support, you're the fucking cook, you're in the motor pool, you don't have, shut your mouth. Okay, that's number one. Number two is this. I think these nitwits seem to forget one very basic thing. All major world wars that we have fought in were fought. Majority of the personnel sent over by the United States were, oh my God, draftees. The typical American fat boy that got sent to fat camp, then got sent to boot camp, then got ready to go to war. They won World War I for us, they won World War II for us, and I have no doubt we get roped into a World War III. It's going to be those draftees, not these guys that signed up for 8 years so they could get free shit, that are going to win World War III. Just my humble opinion, you know, on it. But, yeah, before you run your mouth and make yourself look stupid, don't get me wrong. I love our military. I'm very much patriotic towards it. But we've got a bunch of numbnuts in there that love to run their mouth because they got to hold a gun for 20 minutes in boot camp. And all of a sudden, they're experts on everything. So, you know, if you are a true combat warfighter, thank you for what you do. You're always in harm's way. I love you. I respect you. You deserve our best. Everybody else in a support system, we need you. But be silent. Okay, so World War III, not popping off. In fact, it's gotten kind of quiet real fast. You know why? Trump's got the button and he's not afraid to use it. And I'm sure he sent somebody over to old Ayatollah and said, hey, fucker, Jimmy Carter ain't president anymore. And, you know, unless you want this place to be turned to glass real fast, I suggest you shut the fuck up. So, just my opinion, that's how I look at it. Remember, it is in today's news. Next up, impeachment. This hoax has been going on for months, and this little diversion that we had with Iran definitely allowed us to take our minds off of the circus that the Democrats have going. Couple things. Number one, check this out. Not only has the impeachment been phony from the beginning, but now it's even falling apart among Senate Democrats. Dianne Feinstein, of all people, Dianne Feinstein of California, or Commifornia, depending on how you like to call it, just told her fellow Californian, Nancy Pelosi. She is quoted as saying, look, if this is important to send over to the Senate, send it over. If it's not, don't send it over and just let it die. Newsflash, it's not important. Otherwise, it would have already been sent over. Majority Leader McConnell has said, look, here's the deal. We're just going to go ahead and we don't need the paperwork or anything to have the trial because it's already been voted on. You don't want us to do it? We'll just go ahead with it. We'll vote it. We'll vote acquit. Boom. Done. Good to go. You know what they impeached him over? Two things that don't even exist. One, abuse of power. There is no provision in the United States Code or the U.S. Constitution about abuse of power. Secondly, obstruction of Congress. Okay, no such thing. Congress is a legislative entity. Okay, all they are to do is to propose and pass legislation. There is no obstruction of Congress. They are not a judicial arm of the government. So they literally impeached him over, you won in 2016, we're still pissed off, fuck you. That's what the impeachment was about. And the funny thing about it is most people think that the impeachment means that he's got no power, he's a lame duck president. Really? Have you seen Trump? Have you seen how he acts? No, it's not that. This impeachment thing was a big hoax to begin with. Their so-called experts never saw anything firsthand, never heard anything firsthand. They were told what to say in their transcript. And now they're, you know, the very thing they impeached him on, quote unquote, they're doing to the Senate in order to get what they want to try to remove him from office. Not going to happen. Trump's going to win in 2020 in a ginormous landslide, and the Democrats stand to lose enough seats that they'll probably not be an entity in Congress for probably another 20 years. So think about it that way. Impeachment, impeachment, impeachment. The impeachment is as valid as a $3 bill. It's basically a vote of no confidence. And without evidence of an actual crime, which what Trump did on the phone isn't even a crime. It's not even inappropriate for leaders or for presidents. Hell, Bush and Clinton and Barry Obama did it all the time. Again, this just was a temper tantrum that culminated from a 3 year temper tantrum, rather. You know, and so, you know, that's basically what happened. So the impeachment's not going to move forward. They're done. You know, everybody's off that. We're on to other things. The economy, you know, all that other stuff, moving into an election year. But I noticed one thing. You notice not one single Democrat mentioned anything about this whole shit going down in the Middle East. You know why? They're friends with the people over there. And on a side note, gas went down, or petroleum went under $60 a barrel. The stock market, the S&P went up. S&P 500 went up to its highest level, and the stock market's still gaining after World War III. So, you know, orange man good, orange man good. There's not going to be any impeachment. Trump 2020, here we go. Oh, the next one. This one I loved. I watched this one multiple times, and that is the opening monologue to the Golden Globes by Ricky Gervais. He slayed it. I mean, he was lopping off heads of the illiberal elite everywhere he turned. My God, he even said, this is my last time hosting it. I don't give a shit. Oh, if you get a chance, try to find it on YouTube. It is awesome to listen to. And even got up there, and at the end, he goes, here's the thing. Nobody cares about your political viewpoints. Come up, get your award thing, thank your agent and your God, and get the fuck off. You know, and fuck off, you know, basically. And you still had these nitwit idiot broads coming, my oppression and the oppression of this and that. It's like, nobody gives a shit. And he would come up and literally make fun of them to their face. Jokes about Epstein, jokes about Harvey Weinstein, jokes about Apple using sweatshops. I mean, it was classically epic. If you get a chance, Ricky Gervais with his Golden Globes was awesome. And by the way, I don't know who won what. I don't care. I don't give a shit about has-beens in tuxedos giving older has-beens in tuxedos awards for movies that closed 3 weeks before they opened. And nobody gives a fuck. I don't give a fuck. I couldn't tell you who the best actor was, best actress. No, I haven't been drinking, folks, I swear. Best actress, anything like that. It's insane that these people think that they're so self-righteous, so self-important. And he brought the whole house of cards down on them. I find it hilarious. I don't give a shit. Don't know who the best actor, actress, this, that, and the other was. I really think, and it happened, and I didn't even know it was the day it was on. All I know is that I was doing some work on my computer. Next thing I know, it pops up. Ricky Gervais unloads on Hollywood at Golden Globes. I'm like, oh, that was today? Cool. All right. But that truly was. That was worth watching in and of itself. And guess what? You didn't have to watch the entire 3 hours of it. You can compress it down between the opening monologue and clips of him destroying people, about 10 minutes. So you're saving 2 hours and 50 minutes. I suggest checking it out. It's hilarious. It will definitely make your week. But yeah, nobody cares. I don't know who won. If anybody knows who won best this, that, and the other, please let me know so I can tell you I don't give a shit. So, yeah, the Golden Globes, Ricky Gervais, it was good. Check it out. Let's see, what else has been going on in the news? Oh, yes, fires in California. It was funny because Sleep Number apparently has become woke. They published a commercial about the firefighters fighting the ravages of all these fires in the state of California. And then, they are trying to liken it with, this is about environmental issues. Let me tell you something, people. This has nothing to do with the fucking environment. And I had somebody write in, and of course, here's the thing. Environmentalists, whenever they want to argue about you with the environment, always remember one thing. You're never going to convince them that they're wrong. Even with the facts that you have. You can quote stats, you can quote anything all day, they're still right. It's a cult. Environmentalism is a cult, okay? As an outdoorsman, and as somebody who has always loved the outdoors, 99% of outdoorsmen are better conservationists than all the environmentalists put together, okay? And you notice a difference in those words. Again, we're going to go back to our words. Because words have power as far as for understanding things. Environmentalist, conservationist. An environmentalist is a nutcake quack that has sex and hugs trees. And yes, this does happen. A conservationist is somebody that comes in, uses the resources that are available, but also realizes not to overuse and to replenish what they can so that it can be used again and conserve, hence the name conservationist, what is up. But I had this environmentalist guy say, no, it's everything about environmental, California, has been in a drought for this many years and this, no, it's got nothing. Listen, sweetheart, and I'm not going to argue with her because she's an environmentalist. She even put it on her Instagram. So, you're not going to convince them anything else, but I will put the answer here for the rest of you. No, it's not an environmental factor. Okay. California has its head up its ass. All right. Everybody laughed when Trump said California need to rake the forest. And yet there's a bulldozer that has a special attachment to it that is used all over the world for conservation of forest floors to get all the dead rot, the fall, and all that other stuff off the forest floor and mulch it up and keep it from keep stuff like this from happening. That's number one. Number two is this. The California Department of Fish and Game needs to go to Auntie Twosome Gavin Newsom and be like, look, fucker, here's the deal. We need funding to be able to get this stuff situated. Now, the amount of money it takes to fly in these helicopters and to fight these fires, if they just would have cleaned up what they're supposed to clean up, and when it, oh, you can't do that. That's a habitat for animals. Well, now, and this is the stupidity of environmentalism, people. You can't clean up the forest floor because that's habitat for people. But now there's no habitat for no one, including humans and those animals you were so desperately trying to save. Again, conservationism. You know, do what you have to do to conserve and keep the forests managed. Forest management is the key. So I want to read to you what I put on this post because, you know, Sleep Number's now woke when it comes to their advertisement. This is what I put. I said, maybe if Sacramento would manage their forests, the forests in their states, instead of listening to the incoherent screeching of nature Nazis who know nothing about trees and forests, mega fires, which is what they were talking about in the commercial, wouldn't be such a huge problem. I grew up there, and I just got back from there. Manage the forests and tell the nitwit tree huggers to suck it. I'm currently in Oregon, and here and in Washington, there are some of the same issues. Just not as acute, because logging is still huge up here. It's all about resource management, not climate or lack of funding, resource management. Here's the thing, people. California, 50% of their budget goes to education. They're 50th in the nation as far as education. All these higher taxes that were being paid at the pump to go for the roads, you can't drive faster than 45 to 55 mile an hour on Interstate 5 going past Magic Mountain because of the amount of potholes and uneven pavement in your vehicle, or you will destroy your suspension on your vehicle, even if it's an SUV. But yet we've got, California is a mess. It's in shambles. We don't have money to do what we need to do to prevent and to manage these resources for mega fires, but we've got $200 billion for illegals and their driver's licenses and their health care. So, yeah, we have these Sleep Number's woke. We have these, you know, talking about these huge, you know, forest mega fires in California and how, you know, it's an environmental thing. No, it's called some nitwit doesn't know how to budget, balance a budget and allocate resources where they need to be. Javier Juan Pedro can wait. Clean up the fucking forest, because otherwise Javier, Pedro, and Juan ain't going to have a place to live. Which is currently why everybody's sitting there scratching their head going, well, you don't understand. Everything burnt to the ground. Yeah, because you didn't manage the resource like you were told prior, because the nature Nazis might say bad things and might not like us. Really? Manage your fucking forests and you don't have to worry about this shit. And by the way, most of those mega fires were set by people. It wasn't just random, you know. But because there was so much fuel, because it's habitat and you can't, you know, it turned into the mess that it was. And I find it funny the fact that Sleep Number is now woke with the environmentalists. That, you know, it's funny because we're going into a time now where Generation X, you know, we were shoved, we had all this, you know, woke environmental shit shoved down our throats with Captain Planet in the 80s and 90s. And now these people are becoming the heads of these companies, and they're woke, and then they're wondering why their policies aren't working, because, well, we watched Captain Planet, and he said if we did this, you know, we'd be saving the planet, and we'd be, you know, this. Nobody gives a shit, dude. You sell beds. Sell fucking beds. Stay, you know, and they're doing it under the guise of, well, you know, we provided all these firefighters with a good night's sleep and this and that. 98% of those firefighters probably don't even use a Sleep Number bed. But they're going to use the environment, they're going to use firefighter, and they're going to use tragedy to sell you their beds. And speaking of fires, have you seen this mess in Australia? My God. And again, you know, the climate people are screeching. Excuse me for a minute. The climate people are screeching. Climate change, climate change. Oh my God, it's climate change. Until yesterday, when 183 arsonists all across Australia were arrested for deliberately starting fires. This is probably one of the largest fires ever recorded in human history. 24 people dead. 8,000, somewhere around, I believe they said 8,000 to 9,000 cute little koala bears dead. Nearly half a billion animals, insects, any of that kind of stuff, dead. It looks like a freaking war zone with all the kangaroos, wallabies, emus, ostriches. I mean, all that shit. They're just lining the roads. It looks like a war zone over there. 183 people came in and started these fires. And of course, initially, the nature Nazis were like, screech, 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 you know, hashtag, you know, Australia because of the... You notice all those campaigns have quit now that they know it was arson? There's no more, you know, oh, the environment, and because of the environment, look at the devastation of Australia. All that shit just quit overnight, literally overnight. Why? 183 fucking dirtbags. Lit the entire country on fire. And for, you know what? I hunt, I fish, animals die. It's a circle of life. God put us here. God, you know, whatever God you believe in, put us here to be sovereign over this earth. But that's unconscionable. And I think all 183 of them ought to be forcibly marched in. I think shooting them's too good. I think hanging them is too good. I think they ought to be force-marched into the fire that they set. And I think they ought to slowly be burned alive so they can feel what those people and those animals felt. You know, as I get older, I got my daughter's two cats here, and I was never a pet person. I've never been cruel to animals, but I never sought out the companionship of animals as a younger man. But as I get a little older now, I have my daughter's two cats with me up here in Oregon, and what have these animals done to us? Kind of thing, you know, as far as to deserve something like this. Now, before you all think, oh my God, Phil's becoming one of those guys. No, I'm not ever. No, I'm not a vegan. God forbid. Six worst months of my life was being vegan. I'm not a vegetarian. But what I am getting at is most animals have not done anything to earn the cruelty that mankind does to them. Comma. However, I am a firm believer in the circle of life, the cycle of life. I am an outdoorsman. I hunt, I fish, I do all these things because I believe God or the gods or whatever higher power you believe in put us here to be sovereign over this earth, and that means over the animals as well, whether it is to manage them or be tasty on my plate with mashed potatoes and asparagus. But this is unconscionable. And Australia hasn't had, Australia's kind of become a lot like England. They've lost their balls. They got castrated a long time ago. But I'm hoping they have enough gumption to do what needs to be done with these fuckers. And what's interesting is a lot of them were teenagers, and a lot of them were Aloha snack bar teenagers. Or at least pictures of the ones they released were Middle Eastern type. The fires in Australia. If you get a chance, find, you can actually go to Australian websites, do the conversion. There's a conversion thing for Google to convert it over into Australian dollars and stuff. Do what you can to give. I'm doing what I can to give to help with the firefighters, to help with the restoration. It's horrific. So, it wasn't climate change, numbnuts. It was 183 dirt bags all throughout the country setting this place on fire. And frankly, I think they ought to be driven down the road, tied to the back of a Jeep at about 25 mile an hour, until the Jeep runs out of gas. Fill the Jeep with gas and until it runs out of gas. That's my thought process on that. This is for my buddy Kevin Holmes. Have you guys heard this? I'm sure you have. You've seen it on TV. The campaign against vaping. My God, we had 37 people die last year nationwide of this vaping epidemic. 37, and we've got 383 million people. So, that's 100 millionth of 1%. It's an epidemic, people. It's an epidemic. But now, they're coming in and they're regulating this shit like it's fucking heroin. Vaping is not a problem, people, okay? Nicotine, oil, whatever, what about these fuckers that are snorting these essential oils because they got a sinus problem? That's all this vape juice is it's basically an oil base with a flavor, and it's got nicotine in it. Well, if you're going to ban that, you need to ban essential oils, because that's basically the same shit, is it's an oil with some lavender and some other shit in it, and you snort it or you rub it on your skin to make you feel better. Here's the stupidity of the left. We are going to ban vaping stuff, vape cartridges and vaping and all that kind of stuff. But we're going to legalize pot, both of which you smoke into your lungs. Now, I want my audience to sit here and think about the logic of this. Yes, pot is a plant, and for the record, I am for federally decriminalizing it. Get on my Instagram, or send me a message here and ask me why. I am for federally decriminalizing pot. But when you're looking at a vape juice, nicotine is not the problem, okay? Nicotine is addictive, but a nicotine has been found in studies that it's not actually harmful to the cells of your body. What's harmful, what's carcinogenic, is all the shit they put in the cigarettes, the tars, the filters, all the chemicals around the tobacco. But the tobacco itself, or the nicotine itself, really isn't harmful. No more than coffee or caffeine is harmful. So what these nitwits have done is they've likened vaping into, somebody told them that, and of course, God forbid they do their own research, but some numbnuts from the environmental group or anti-smoke, anytime you're an advocate for something, and I want to digress here for a minute, and actually do a podcast type statement here as opposed to the news, Anytime I had a guy call, I mentioned something the other day about felons in a Facebook post, and this guy got on here and he's like, "Well, what are you saying about felons? What do you mean about that? You know, I'm a felon advocate." And here's the thing, folks: the moment you tell me you're an advocate for something, I'm going to shut you off. I'm going to shut my ears off. I'm going to shut my brain off. Here's why. Telling me you're an advocate for whatever minority group is oppressed this week is the equivalent of saying you're vegan. Okay? Nobody cares. Do your advocacy and do it quietly. You know, I'll have more respect for you if you do be an advocate and you're an advocate quietly. You're not, "I'm an advocate for this." Well, goody for you. I'm a blowjob advocate. And obviously, I'm not very good at what I'm advocating. So, you know, I'm a total blowjob advocate. You know, these advocates are like these vegans. And so what happens is you get these advocates that come in and, oh, my God, you know, the picture of the girl in the hospital bed with all the tubes and, you know, I got this way and I'm going to die because of vaping. No, you dumb broad. You got that way because you bought a questionable illegal cartridge from the back of somebody's Ford Pinto. That's why you got that way. You buy something like a Juul, you buy something like what my buddy Kevin sells. These are all legitimate. They're high grade. They have people come in and they test them. It's good to go. The nicotine is addictive the way caffeine is addictive. It's the tar and all the other chemicals you get in the cigarettes that are carcinogenic, not the nicotine. So now we're going to ban all of that. Vaping is evil because, well, if you're going to do that, you need to ban essential oils. You know, you're sucking an oil, you know, a vaporized oil into your lungs. Yeah? What do you think, you know, these essential oil breathers thingies are? You're breathing oil, essential oils, into your lungs. Kind of the same thing. So, yeah, the nitwits have banned, especially in California, San Francisco has banned all e-cigarettes and vaping. They've banned straws, but you can get heroin needles on every corner, provided you can step over the human shit. I'm trying to see what else I want to talk about in the news, because really, Hollywood, entertainment, any of that kind of stuff, I don't give a shit. Hollywood and entertainment, sports, all of that kind of stuff just really doesn't affect my life anymore. I mean, I'm literally sitting up here, I've got a laptop, my cell phone, no TV, no, you know, UVerse or Comcast or, you know, for what we had in San Diego, Cox or things like that. None of that stuff. So it's kind of hard for me to pick through what I want to talk about, because I'm not going to sit here and discuss stupid shit. I know what we can talk about. Yes, folks, the memes are correct. Epstein didn't kill himself. That's the other huge story of 2019, and is still in the news. They've had two independent people outside of the medical examiner that issued the official cause of death. Both of these guys have said these are not suicide wounds. These are murder. This is murder. The whole Epstein didn't kill himself thing I found was absolutely hilarious. Excuse me. Wow. That came out of nowhere. He was friends with a lot of the most powerful people, not only in the entertainment industry, but some in the world. And you think he's going to let Trump's Justice Department get a hold of any of this information? I knew when he went to jail, he was going to suicide himself. I knew it before it happened. I called it. The moment they said, "Oh, Epstein's been arrested," I was like, "He'll suicide himself before the week's over." I was off by 2 days. Okay, I was off by 2 days, and yep, he ended up suiciding himself under suspicious circumstances. The man's deplorable, doing what he did, trafficking people as a commodity. And the people that partook of his services are deplorable people. But yeah, Epstein didn't kill himself. The Clintons did. And finally, here at the Toxic Masculinity News Desk, I want to go, let me see what we got here. I was right about the impeachment having to do with laundering money through Ukraine. That is currently a developing story for people, but I called it when the impeachment first started and this whole thing with Hunter Biden, and he's in charge of a petroleum company or sits on a board and this and that. I was like, they're using Ukraine to launder fucking money through. And now that's been found out that they're using Ukraine to launder money through. Oh, my God. I called that 6 months ago. Before, even when the impeachment was just a whisper. You know, you got it's all about the green, folks, you know. And so we're going to impeach, you know, the president, because if he finds out we're laundering money through Ukraine, that's going to cost us tens, if not hundreds of millions of dollars. I called the thing on Epstein. Not, you know, Epstein will kill himself in prison. I was off by 2 days. That was another one. Just by the circumstance, you could look at it and go, hmm. Now, things that make you go, hmm. Look, folks, it's very simple. If you look at a news story, you look at something that's going on, you don't have to sit there and research it 950 fucking hours. Be open, be alert, do some research, but you don't have to, you know, be obsessive about it. Learn how groups and people and things orient themselves, how they react, how they act towards things, and you'll pretty much be able, well, and you also need to be able to read people relatively well and read situations. If you do that, you'll be able to figure out the majority of what's going on outside of the fake news reports that we get and we're inundated with 24/7, 365 days. And so, in closing, my name is Philip Vandermeulen. Thank you for spending your time here with Toxic Masculinity. This has been the news, or at least the highlights of things that I paid attention to over the last 6-8 months of me being outside of the Pacific Northwest, and really just touching on these stories. I mean, these things, I could sit here, if you were sitting here across from me, we could go for hours and 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 hours. But, you know, I wanted to hit the highlights of what I thought and how things are and the hilarity of some of the and the stupidity of other things, the sadness of and tragedies, things along that line. So this has been the highlight of the for news, Toxic Masculinity. Once again, this is Philip coming at you. Thank you for listening. Happy New Year, and I love you guys.